All right, welcoming our second caller ever into the Slam Jam podcast, we have the famous, the epic, the Hall of Famer, Wesley Gabrielson. He's with the Asia Aces. Welcome this dude to the podcast. Boom. What's up, Wes?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Are we cool enough to call you Wes?
You can call me Wes. That's what most people call me.
Okay, because we can call you Wesley. I had a nickname that I actually created for you. Do you want to hear it?
Did you?
Yeah.
Sure.
Watching you play, it's the Big Easy. That was because you got to call it like it is. And that's watching you play, it was the Big Easy. Does it stick?
Big Easy.
Well, we'll see.
The Big Easy.
That's right. So, Wesley Gabrielson, man, we are so stoked to have you out here in Australia, which is very funny. An American welcoming you into Australia again. But hey, man, give us a. How long have you been playing pickleball?
I started playing pickleball in 1998, actually. So
what?
It's been over 25 years. Yeah. Well, so living out here in Oregon on the West Coast, we're about 4 hours. I'm about 4 hours south of Seattle, where the game was invented.
Yeah.
And so, lucky enough to have in middle school PE and high school PE class, we had pickleball. So I was introduced to it all the way back in the late 90s.
Oh my God!
Now, just okay. A quick question about pickleball. Did you know it was named after a dog, or how did you find out this name meant this sport?
Well, there's conflicting theories on what the name is based on. So some people think it's a dog, and some people think it's based on the, one of the boats that was a pickle boat. So I'm kind of Switzerland when it comes to the name. I kind of lean to one side or the other.
Here's the deal. I've never met someone who's been playing pickleball this long. So officially on the podcast, whatever Wesley says goes. So you decide right now for the viewers, you tell us, is it named after a dog or is it named after a boat? Because this is going to be fact moving forward.
I might plead the fifth on that.
Oh,
one.
Of course he does. That's such an Oregon thing. That was such an Oregon move right there. Wes, let's get right into it, dude. Talk to us. You, MLP, Australia, walk us through it. How did you decide you wanted to come out here? Who'd you speak to? Why did you think it was a good idea? Let us have it.
Yeah, so I had heard from a couple of people that this was happening, and I was just kind of interested. I have a background as a history major, so I'm used to researching anyways. And research still fascinates me. So I said, I'm going to look at this MLP Australia thing. And then I looked at the criteria and it said there were spots for international players. At this stage in my pickleball career, I'm really selective about what I choose to play in. I play a handful of pro events in the States every year, but I don't travel every other weekend like a lot of my friends do to play. And so I thought, hey, this would be a cool opportunity if I get drafted to see a part of the world I've never been to, meet fellow pros, and play. And so I threw my name in the draft and was lucky enough to get picked by Captain Venice of the Asia Aces, and here I am.
That's awesome, man. Well, it's so glad to have you. Now, when you came to Australia, what did you enjoy about the tournament, the Sydney tournament? What was some highlights that you took away from it?
Well, I think competing in MLP, again, is super fun. I actually got the pleasure of competing in 2022. I was on an MLP team in the States playing. And then last year I coached one of the teams. And so it was fun to compete again. And also just to play with people from different parts of the world as my teammates and come together in a limited amount of time to go compete against, you know, arguably some of the best players in Australia and Asia. And so that was really kind of a fun puzzle to figure out. And we'll continue to do so the next couple events.
Yeah, obviously there was a fair bit of travel for the Asia Aces. I don't think a single one of you is actually obviously based in Australia. You're certainly not. You're calling us from Portland, Oregon. How was the sort of the team dynamic and the team chemistry when you finally got to face-to-face each other? I'm sure you guys started, you know, a messaging group or something like that. But when you actually came to Australia, you started training. How did you kind of develop that chemistry, and how do you think you actually overall went, and how do you think you will go?
Yeah, so I came a week early because I wanted to experience the country as well, and I stayed in Sydney and had a great time and practiced with, you know, Mitch Hargraves and Alex Fairbanks and some of those players in Sydney during the week, which was awesome. And then my team flew in the day before we started, based on their work and other schedules. So we got a really good couple of sessions in on Thursday, the day before the event, and tried out our, you know, multiple pairings of mixed doubles. And I think because of the text thread beforehand, we kind of had developed that chemistry without being face to face. And, you know, we rented a house together and did kind of the all-inclusive team bonding piece. And I thought we came together really well for obviously limited practice together. And I think in our two matches, you know, we lost both of them 3-1. But I think in four of our six individual losses, we lost 21-19. So it was about as close as it can get.
Yep.
You know, we very easily could have won 3-1 both matches. I thought we were right there. So
yeah.
I think we're just going to get better and better and as we get more comfortable playing together.
Now, okay, Ty here again. You freaked me out because I saw an overhand slam. And yeah, I had a couple of beers while I was watching you. And I saw one left-handed. And then I thought I saw one right-handed. And then I had to rewind it. And you definitely switch hands.
Yeah, it wasn't the beer goggles talking there for you. Oh,
thank God. That's a first. Yeah, that's a first then. Wow. What the hell? What the hell, dude?
How'd you learn that?
What the heck?
It's actually been, no joke, pretty much a lifetime of ambidexterity in all of my sports.
Is that is that sexually transmitted?
I'll plead the fifth. I'll play the fifth on that one.
Yeah, play Switzerland for sure.
So kind of the origin story of that. I write and I, you know, eat and do all of kind of your daily tasks left-handed, but I came from a baseball and a soccer background before I played tennis, and I threw and kicked right with my right side.
Nice.
So when I got into tennis, I actually served right and I switched to my left. And my tennis coach was like, why the hell are you serving right-handed when a lefty serve is so powerful and different in tennis, right? It was because I threw a baseball with my right hand. And so that's why you see me switch from time to time. If I have time and that lob is high, I switch to my right hand because I get more power off that side.
Cool.
And just quickly, because everyone wants to know, what position in baseball did you play?
No.
Third base.
Third.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Big, powerful.
Hot corner.
Did you wear your pants high, like near the kneecaps, or low near the ankles?
Yeah. Shit. I don't remember.
That is fair.
I played baseball, I was 13. So
Okay. So now, this is huge, and we've asked all of our guests on the show, which has officially been one. which we're going to switch this up a little bit. You are now traveling to Australia. Mm-hmm. We the people need to hear your best Australian accent.
Oh boy. So I found myself dipping in and out toward the later part of my trip, and I had to catch myself on a few words. I think people said I didn't have it when I came back. So I don't know. I'm going to have to dig deep. I will share a story, and this is going to be terrible.
Yes.
The accent's going to be terrible. Oh, but I'm going to share.
I'm best friends with Colin. All I hear is terrible stories. This is perfect.
So my favorite on-court moment, and my men's partner, David, on our team would relate too. We couldn't stop laughing about this. We're playing our first men's match and we're at 1-0. And I hit a little speed up down the line, and our opponent saw it out, but I saw it on the line. So I asked the referee, I said, did you see it? right? In the States, that's what we do to challenge a call.
Yep.
And the referee was also named David, but we called him David. And he goes, "Pardon." And I know that sounds British. And I go, "Did you see it?" And he looks at us and he goes, "Are you querying the call?" and I look at him and I go, "Yes," assuming he means, "Are you challenging?" And he looks at me and with a huge smile on his face. And he goes, "Are you sure you're querying the call?" And he nods his head. And it was almost like he was tipping it off that, yes, I should query the call. And he overturned it.
Oh.
And so David and I had to like regroup because we couldn't stop laughing mid, you know, and we were playing Joey Wilde and Vish. And Vish.
That's
Vish,
our brother, yeah. By the way. That's our brown daddy.
No, I love that guy. He's yeah. great. And so then the next day, David, there's my Aussie accent.
It works. David, you've passed.
He's the assistant referee for our match.
Sorry, Colin was just opening a beer.
We go up to him and he go, "Hey, you know, you made our day by, you know, querying, you know, saying this querying thing." And we just couldn't stop. You know, we thought it was great. And I don't think he understood that what we were saying, that it was funny to us. And he goes, "You can query as long as you want, as many times as you want all match." And so that was a freaking, we were still, David, we were texting the other day about it too, how much fun that was. But yeah, my accent's terrible.
Dude, so I think you passed. I think you just gained a citizenship with that. I think you're on.
Yeah. I have one, another question in regards to, you were great on the microphone. You and Gordo were a little tag team.
Gordo.
But that's my man, by the way. Hey.
Back that's off, my, Gordo.
He is my dad.
Those thunder thighs belong to Ty.
Ooh, God, I love that guy. He's the sexiest man in pickleball, and everybody knows it. I don't care what country you're from.
But you two, you seem like you, cohesion-wise, you guys are great together. You're playing amazing, or sorry, not playing amazing, but you were really giving a lot of a debrief on what was going on. You guys fed off each other. Mm-hmm. What did you take away from Gordo? How did you like being on the mic at the pickleball tournament?
So I used to call him Gordon, but now, you know, I call him Gordo now. Gordo was provided commentary during the draft, right? And so here I am in the States and I'm watching, and I'd sent him a message beforehand because I had followed the social media, you know, posts, and I said, "Hey, you know, looking forward to the draft, and I've heard good things, and you know, have fun tonight." And his energy and excitement during that whole draft, I thought was just awesome. So we started messaging a little bit, and I asked him about, you know, the landscape of Australia and you know, where the solid play is and all those things. So we kind of developed a friendship over social, and then so we got to know each other a bit. And then I told Sanj, our commissioner, I said, "You know, if you guys need someone on the mic and I'm not playing, I can pop in and out." And so what I discovered from Gordo is he uses the word sensational more than any human I've ever heard before. And so we watch. So lo and behold, we play our first match as a team, and then we watch the replay that night. And Gordo is saying sensational all the time.
Every right? good he's, announcer has always, one go-to. You know?
Yes, yes, yes. And he's got some really, I love you, Gordo, but he's got some great cheesy puns that are like
totally
the most extreme puns, right? I think everyone loves Gordo. He's great.
Literally, he's the most beloved man in pickleball.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's mm-hmm. such a kind man. And he, so my goal, I told my teammates, I said, when I do this semifinal match the next day, I'm going to try to slip in about 15 sensationals if I can. And I did. And it was, that was great. He couldn't stop laughing. And then
you beat him to it.
And then I also, and then I got him to the point where he kept saying to me, we might, you know, he gets kind of quiet. "We might be going to a dream breaker. And how would you say it, Wes? And of course, I went, dream breaker. You know, I got all excited and dipped into my best Aussie. Yeah. So,
Well, Wes, we really appreciate you actually joining us. And we humbly actually appreciate your commitment to fly all the way from the States to Australia. And then obviously we expect that you're going to be coming through to New Zealand, and then you're going to go for Brisbane. We're looking forward to you coming to Brisbane because we'll get our first opportunity to actually shake your hand and meet you because you're a living legend.
No, we'll do a chest bump. We'll do a chest bump. Yeah. I got to jump real high to get up there.
And, mate, I've got to say that
I'm not that tall, but...
Well, I'm very short.
Okay.
Right, but bring your Hall of Fame jacket. We all want to wear it.
Oh, God, let us bring... Oh, yeah, geez. Please. Please. By the way, Mike Newell, who everyone knows here, he had you... He was so excited that you were coming, man. He knows all about you, and he got everyone super pumped to have you. And the league is very lucky to have you. And man, we just even watching the videos, man. We just you brought such a vibe, and you were genuinely enjoying yourself, man, out there. So that was really cool. And good on you for bringing a team together who literally nobody, as Adam said, nobody actually lives on this soil. So, man, we are very lucky to have you, and we are 100% looking forward to watching you and your team in your next tournament.
Yeah, thanks, guys, and yeah, it's been a great blessing to be part of this, and I got a chance to meet Mike and have a good chat as well because we have a lot of mutual contacts in the States, but. Yeah, the goal is to get better and better each event as a team, and it's been so fun to meet all the players and share ideas and tactics, and you know that's kind of the whole goal of this. And I know, you know, friends of mine like Roman, who's on the Glory, and other players who are coming from abroad, we're just excited and had a blast meeting everyone. So it's just going to get better and better.
So cool, buddy. And now the last question we're going to leave you with. You've been a tourist now in Australia one time. You probably didn't get to do too much. What is the first thing? What's the number one tourist checklist that you have on your next trip?
The tourist checklist. Like, what do I want to do back in Australia or New Zealand?
Yeah. Did you go to the zoo? Have you seen the opera?
Was what I meant.
I was lucky enough. I stayed in the suburbs, and so the folks that I stayed with, this family, were so awesome, and they honestly took me to so many places that tourists don't even know about. So I got to see kind of a lot of cool stuff around the area. I did not go to the Opera House though. It was based on kind of weather and the schedule that day. So I would love to go into that area and see the zoo as well, and. If I do that, I will do my best to bring the Hall of Fame jacket so you can see me wearing this.
That's all we want.
But I will tell you something. I've worn the jacket twice in my life, and that was when it was mandated.
Wow.
Well, just
I'm gonna wear it like Donald Duck.
I wore it when they put it on my shoulders in 2022 when I got inducted. And then last year, the following year, all the Hall of Famers brought their jackets because we got recognized that night too for the new class. And
surely,
boys. I don't think it's coming across the pond.
Is the color of it champagne yellow?
No, the color of it is it's black. It's a black jacket.
Keep it in the States.
Send us a picture. We're gonna put it on our we'll put it on our page.
Yeah, send us a picture. Just you in the jacket.
Yeah,
that's it.
But wearing nothing else, Wes. Nothing else.
No, I gotta go fully clothed. But I'll be honest, guys. I've been blessed with a really awesome career so far because of great partners and great people supporting me. But a lot of people ask, where do you keep your medals? You know, at home, like some people put their medals up and most of mine are actually in a box in the closet and it's right next to the Hall of Fame jacket. So,
well, that's solid. We ask Adam we ask Adam where he keeps his medals. So he's built a wardrobe, but there's no medals. So,
well, again, I appreciate you guys and reaching out. And I went and listened to a little bit of the first podcast, just the first couple of minutes. And you guys definitely have a lot of fun. And that's awesome.
That's for sure. That's what it's about.
Thanks very much, mate. We so appreciate you joining us. Have a great rest of season one, and we'll see you in Brisbane.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Wes.